Well, as I began to get into there, how many of you realized your life isn't all rainbows and unicorns and butterflies? You've come to realize that, right? For those of you that I apologize if you are not into that phase of life where you have not had that revelation yet. Well, it's just like being told there's no Santa Claus. We just took care of it. Your life isn't always peachy, is it? I don't think I've ever had any one person raise their hand when I've asked this question. Whose life has turned out the way you thought it was going to? Okay, good. Still holds true. None of us do. Because we do not control the future. We do not control the world. We can't even hardly control ourselves. Let's just be real. We want to control everybody else, but until we can learn to control ourselves, I think we should focus on self in that realm and let God work on other people. But so many times, nothing goes the way we thought. And herein lies the problem, is when we have got our hopes, our futures, our plans, everything about us is wrapped up in it going my way. You know, there's a problem when you have everything wrapped up in a person, in a job, in a business, in winning the lottery. I don't care if you play it, really, I don't. But I have a problem when you think that your joy and your happiness is found in winning a bunch of money. Ask any of the rock stars, any of the musicians that have got millions and millions of dollars, and ask them if they've found happiness yet. And they will tell you no. Because if it had, then they still wouldn't be searching, would they? So we get everything wrapped up on whether or not it went our way. Whether this game went my way. I'm going to have a bad day because my team lost. You do realize the odds are actually pretty good that your team's going to lose at some point in life. Guaranteed. You know, I remember, I believe it was 1986. I became a Bears fan that year. Anybody else become a Bears fan in the mid-80s? Because they went undefeated. They were kicking butt and taking names now. You know, I don't remember a whole lot about the Bears after that. Oh, yeah, we got Saturday Night Live doing their little skits and the Bears and all this stuff. And, you know, they haven't been much. How many people, every football season comes around, they get all hyped up, and then they're just totally depressed because nothing went their way. Well, what I'm going to talk to you today about is the fact that no matter what happens in our life, God knew it was going to happen. Good and bad. And I need you to understand something. Here's what the world does not understand. God is a God of free will. Don't listen to Rush when they say, I choose free will. You know what? So do I. I choose free will. And so did God. God gave us a free will in the beginning. We chose to substitute law for it from the word go. And when we did that, we said, God, we don't want a free will. We want to be told what to do. Listen, I like making my own decisions. That was the part about being an adult I loved. Paying the taxes and the bills and all the other stuff was stuff that could have went out the window. But even when I became an adult, I had a weird, you know, there's a few of you in here, you understand what I'm talking about. The military is a different world to be in. You're still told what to do. I'm 19 years old and told when I can go to the bathroom. That just isn't right. Is it an emergency? Does it matter? I saw one recruit in boot camp. We just knew better than to ask. Those of us who were a little smarter than your average bear, we waited until they shut their door, the lights went out, and we went to the bathroom in peace. Otherwise, they're out there screaming at you to hurry it up. And anyhow, I remember this one guy, he requested. You had to speak third person. Sir, recruit so-and-so, request permission to make a head call, sir. And we were doing something, and this is when they got aggravated. Is it an emergency? Well, I'm thinking, depends on what they fed us at the chow hall. It might be an emergency. And so he had to go running. He said, all right. He says, I want to hear the sirens and see the lights. He's like, what? He says, you heard me. That boy had to run around the squad bay before he got to the head doing this. Woo, 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 woo. But we fell into a comfort zone of letting somebody else make decisions for us. And that's the way we've become with God from time to time. We forget he gave us the right to choose. He gave us the ability, the desire to make our own decisions. You know, that's why this country is founded. We didn't want people telling us how to serve God, how to worship God. But what happened? We exchanged it. We took that right, that freedom, and we said, you know what? Now, you got to fall in line with these parameters here. You got to look the part, you got to dress the part, you got to smell the part, you got to act the part on this side, even though nothing changed inside. And so we have allowed religion, we have allowed legalism to make the decisions for us. I've heard people say, oh, I don't have anything to wear to church. You got a pair of pants? You got a pair of shoes? I don't care for flip-flops. Jesus wore sandals. If people ain't figuring this out, all the religious people, that's inappropriate footwear. I have wore sandals here. Jesus wore sandals and a robe. You should be thanking God I feel somewhat uncomfortable wearing robes. But we would rather do that and blame everything else on all of our problems on everybody else as opposed to saying, okay, I made the decision to do that. I did this. I did that. And here's the great redeeming part. God knew you were going to do it. God knew you were going to run that stop sign and that cop was going to be sitting over there waiting. God knew it. You're over there all... The devil, he's just out after me. The devil gave me a bad day. The devil doing it. Oh, yeah, like the devil made you run the stop sign. I honestly, folks, I believe that there's a vast amount of demons and demonic influence in the world, okay? But I believe it is indeed numbered, okay? There is a number. Even the angels in heaven have a number. There's only so many. So if all the demons in the world are out after you today, then why isn't everybody else having an awesome day? Because of decisions. We make decisions and we have to deal with them. So if you'll open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8, I'm actually going to read the verse in front of what they brought up. We're going to go to 27. It says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit in you already knows what the will of God is for your life. He knows what you're going to go through. You need to keep this in mind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all in tune to the will of the Father. They know what God's will and purpose. Jesus' purpose was to make it so that you could have the Holy Spirit. You know what? Here's what we want. We want to come into church and we want, oh Lord, I just want the tingles. I just want the tingles. You know what I'm talking about? Give me the tingles. Oh, Jesus. Why is it you want that here and you walk out and you don't want the presence of God in your life, which is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives in you. This is nothing more than a sensational feeling. That's all that it is inside the church. It's when we come together, this is love coming together. When you go out there, the Holy Spirit, God the Father is with you. God the Son is with you. God the Holy Spirit is with you. And He does not want you to feel alone. So now, you've got the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I believe that the church overstepped and pushed some things too far for a while, and they made the Holy Spirit goofy. Oh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit comes on me and I got to do this, I got to do that. Let's quit being goofy and stupid. The Holy Spirit was a sensible tool for us in those gifts, okay? There are gifts. But the Holy Spirit dwells within us and is interceding to the Father on your behalf. He's in there saying, Father, Lord, I know what Gloria is going to go through tomorrow. Give her strength today. Remind her how much you love her today. Because tomorrow is going to be living hell. See, the Holy Spirit can show us things that are to come. The Holy Spirit has showed me things that were going to happen. I remember nearly 8 years ago, it was over 8 years ago now, I had a dream one night. I woke up and I told Angela, I said, I am so depressed. I don't wake up from dreams being depressed typically. Maybe a little fired up, or depends on what the dream was about. Or, you know, in the cases where I was about to get on a motorcycle and go for a really good ride, and then I wake up frustrated. But this one here, I woke up, I was so depressed. And I shared my dream with her. And I said, honey, and this was in October, early October, I had this dream. I said, Obama's going to win. I said, Obama's going to win. I shared that with another brother in the Lord. He said, you're listening to demons. Demons have showed this to you. By the way, we haven't spoken since. So, okay, if I understand it right, the devil's a liar. They always tell lies. So maybe the last 8 years have been a big lie? Well, it's been one big lie after another, but let's be real. God, through the Holy Spirit, had showed me who was going to be president. And I know why He showed me. Because of the depression that it took me about 3 days to shake it. 3 days of praying and seeking God on this to shake that depression that had hit me. And God allowed me to do that and to shake it off, because when November rolled around, guess what? Many of my Spirit-filled pastor friends and minister friends all went sideways. They started attacking the church. You allowed this man into office. You did it. You did it. Listen, we've got so much control with voting, right? And everybody in this church knows I told you to get out and vote. There's not one person in here who was here at that time can say, we didn't know to go vote. First one thing I will tell you to do is get out and vote. Get registered and get to voting. And so a lot of my friends went sideways. They couldn't get traction for a while. They lost focus. They lost sight. So now we've got this ministry rising up to talk about Islam. We got this ministry rising up to talk about this and to talk about that and talk about this. How about we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His might, and He's returning soon? How about we go back to that? All these other things are great. Okay, in the right settings, they're okay. I think we need some teaching. I think we need to understand things. I'm even going to share some history with you today. But what I'm going to share with you is to actually glorify Jesus, not to bring fear into your life. So now we see that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Better find my glasses. Because otherwise, they look like ants moving all over the page. So, The Holy Spirit is interceding according to the will of God because He knows the will of God for your life. Now, verse 28, this is the one where we always preach right out of. We forget 27, okay? That the Holy Spirit is interceding according to the will of God, not your will. Say, not my will. God's will. The Holy Spirit don't care what your will is. The Holy Spirit only cares what God's will for you is. Now, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Are you hearing me? There's two things here we've missed. You've got to love God. Now, oh, but Pastor, I love God. I love God dearly. I've loved God all my life. I'm going to say, you liar, liar, liar. Pants on fire. You did not love God all your life. I've had people tell, oh, I've known God all my life from the time I was a little baby child. Exactly what happened for about the 50 years in between here? How about we get real? All right, so, who loved God? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And I'm going to leave you with a commandment that supersedes any commandment ever given. Love each other. Okay. So therefore, if we aren't coming to church, if we aren't loving our brothers and sisters, praying for our brothers and sisters, we do not love God. Sorry to put it that way, but that's the way it is. He said, if you love me, you will lay down your life and you will serve others. That's the purpose of the church. Now, the second thing, who are called according to His purpose. In other words, it's going to work to your good if it's involving His will. So many people want to go off and do their own thing, want to be stupid. And I know I'm throwing a lot of words around here that you told your kids never to say. But I'm not dealing with children now, am I? I'm dealing with people who are growing up and are realizing there are stupid things. There is such a thing as a stupid question. I have been in classes where they were asked. A few of you, I know you teachers in here can vouch for it. There is such a thing as a stupid question. And anyhow, so we have a purpose. If we are doing our calling according to God's purpose, He will work it to our good, whatever the devil comes at us to stop us. Because you need to understand something. The devil knows somewhere in, I don't think he knows specifically who. I think he has a group. And I'll use this example. When Jesus was born, the wise men decided not to go back and tell Herod, right? What did Herod do? He sent word that every child 2 years and under in that region was to be killed. Every male child was to be killed. That was a demonic order to destroy Jesus, is exactly what it was. And it came down, but the devil didn't know exactly who he was at that time. Now, I think when Jesus and the devil met in the wilderness, the devil knew exactly who he was. He wasn't asking, if you are the Son of God. He was trying to create doubt in Jesus, who he was. Isn't that what happens with you? You get doubt in who you are? You forget who you are? Because somebody has told you something else. Are you really a child of God? Is there? Listen, let's quit listening to potheads for starters. You're out there in outer space if. If you will hearken now to the word of the Lord is the only if I want to find. If you're the Son of God. God, if this is your order, tell me to do this or do that. I don't really care to fleece God. Gideon got away with it. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you why. Because fleecing God tells me you don't know His voice. Just as I shared a couple weeks back about in boot camp, our platoons were standing side by side, and our drill instructor walked over to another platoon. 80 recruits. We have been there now. We're about halfway done. So we're there about 6 weeks now. We know our drill instructor's voice. We hear it in our sleep. We mimic his voice. Do you understand that? I could freak guys out. I was really good at changing my voice and stuff at that point in life. Thanks to preaching, I can't do Mickey Mouse or Donald. I can do Donald Duck, but I can't do Goofy. But I could do my drill instructors to a T. And I'd catch guys laying in their rack because I didn't always go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. Who goes to sleep? Well, there's a few of you in here. I didn't. Okay, the sun's up, I'm up. And I'd go over and I'd say something to them. And man, they'd jump out of their rack. They knew the voice. These recruits, our drill instructor walked up, called them to attention and started a forward march, and half of them moved. Let's put it this way. They lost their place in the chow line, and we saw them over in the grass area exercising profusely. There's nothing more miserable than going to eat when you are drenched with sweat and sand. And so now, if we will hear the voice of God, we don't have to fleece God. We know His voice. The Bible says His children know His voice. My children know my voice. I know my Father's voice. Why do we not know God's voice? Because we don't want to get close enough to God to hear it. I love the Bible. Do not get me wrong. But that's where we want our relationship to stop. I need people to understand this. Yes, the Bible's a great thing. Okay? Does not take the place of the relationship of God. As a matter of fact, Enoch, one of the writings of Enoch, said that God found writing to be worthless. Stop and think about that for a minute. That God found having to write things down, because first off, we have the capability in this little brain housing group of ours to store so much information. We've used very little bit of our brain power. We have got the capability to remember things, to figure things, to boom, boom, just like that. No computer could compare to our mind. And so God wanted us to hear His voice and recognize His voice, to know His commands, and to move on His commands. Not, well, God, if this really is Your will, You're telling me to do this, You do this. That is doubt, folks. I want you to understand. But God had a purpose for Gideon, and Gideon was the only one. I think you need to understand how desperate this situation was. Gideon was the only man available. You know what amazes me is when the angel of the Lord steps down there and he starts talking to Gideon. Gideon's down there hiding, threshing his wheat. He's making sure that no dust is coming up. He's making sure his movements are hidden. And he's hiding like a little rabbit. And what, you know what the angel of the Lord says? Hail, mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, yeah, who are you talking to, Jack? I'm hiding right now. He was the only one out in daylight. The only one in all of Israel. And what God was about to ask him to do, it was going to take somebody of valor. Okay, now let me get this right, Lord. You want me to run down the hill with torches and vases, covers over them, and trumpets. And you want me to have the trumpets blown and people shout for the sword of the Lord? And you're going to reduce me down from an army of 20,000 to 300? Which, by the way, notice he cut his time. He cut him down three times. How many times did he fleece God? Anybody seeing a correlation there? God doesn't do anything just out of whims. There's a reason why he did it. You doubted me three times? I'm going to prove myself to you three times. Now, so, God had an appointed time for Gideon. Everything in Gideon's life was an appointed time. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you, knowing that there's things you're going to be dealing with, things you're going to have to go through, knowing that the devil doesn't know exactly what the call on your life is, but he's going to try to kill you. He will try to kill you. And the more you get into God's will, the more he will try to do it. The devil doesn't like you. He doesn't love you. He's not your friend. He doesn't want to party with you. He wants to kill you. Inside my first 6 months in the Marine Corps, I had two times I could have been killed. One, I was almost hit by a car. Have no idea where it came from. All I know is somehow I cleared an entire lane of the road in one jump and just missed. I mean, I looked back and hit the front end of that taxi was going by. I'm not blind, and I've taken my wife to where that happened, and you can see both ways, but for some reason I went across the street, and that taxi came out of nowhere and almost hit me. And another time I had a machine gun blow apart. And just so you know, when you're firing 1,100 rounds per minute this far away from your face and the barrel flies off, we were already told you're probably going to die. So make sure it's locked. And the instructor who was in the hole with me was climbing out, going the other direction. I'm just standing there. I believe the devil tries to kill people. I can guarantee every last one of you, you could probably share me at least one story when you could have been killed. Something could have happened that could have stopped what God has called you to do. But God says, I don't think so, Jack. And especially the more we get the revelation of who God is, the more, listen, there's always been this little thing that goes around and says, if you knew you could not fail, what would you do? If you knew going in, you wouldn't fail. Oh, I would start this, I'd invest in this, I'd do this, I'd do that, I'd do this. Okay, why not walk on water? Why not lay hands on somebody? Why not say hi? Let's start there. Why not tell somebody hello? Why not listen to the Holy Spirit that's speaking in your heart saying, they are having a worse day than you are? Smile. I'm not telling you to bury your feelings and just, oh, I'm saying overcome your feelings and find the joy of the Lord in serving him. And look at each and every person as an opportunity for you to share his love. They don't always have to be Christians. All right, now, turn over to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 9. I'm going to jump in right here, even though this is an improper place to jump into a sentence. We're going to do it. Who has saved us according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You know what that's saying, ladies and gentlemen? God knew you would be sitting in that chair today before he created the world. Before he ever did any of this, he knew you'd be here today. He knew Adam was going to fail. He knew Jesus was going to have to come. He knew you were going to be born. He knew the devil was going to rebel. He knew all of it. And in time, over time, he has orchestrated things to work for his calling, for his purpose. He created us beings of free will. We have free will. That's it. I refuse to give my will to religion, to a camp that I supposedly belong to. I belong to Jesus Christ, thank you very much. Don't throw me in your camp. Don't label me, I guess is what I'm sick of. You know, my dog tag says Christian. And the reason it says Christian is because I got to boot camp and I'm trying to spell Pentecostal to a Baptist. I said, just put Christian. Because I said, because if I need it, it doesn't matter. By the way, that's why I would have such a hard time being a chaplain in the military. They want them to go around and pray for the dead. What? So if I need my dog tags, it doesn't matter if it's a Catholic priest or the Jewish priest. I'm not there. So I just said, put Christian on there. And from that point on, I need you to understand, I began to change. I was in rebellion. I'm not going to lie. I still had a long way to go. I went full on into the devil's camp, so to speak. But that moment changed who I saw myself as. I'm non-denominational Pentecostal. No, it doesn't. Exactly. That's what he told me. He says, that don't fit. Put Pentecostal. How do you spell it? I said, just put Christian. And I could talk to him in that realm because he was another recruit. He just got stuck on a working party. Anybody else, I'd have been standing at the position of attention telling them that. But I began changing at that moment. God began to orchestrate everything that for the next 4 years would start working to bring me closer to him. My rebellion, he knew it was going to happen. He put people in my way. He knew who was going to be the final straw of offense that was going to throw me headlong into it. And you know what? It needed to happen. I had to go down. I had become, because I'd been raised in the church, I had been this and this, 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 heard so many different messages. Some of them are so cockamamie, they're scary. I had no sympathy for people. I was critical and judgmental then. And God needed to break that. And then after I came out of my rebellion and started to get to know God, I realized I can't judge people. I can't. I've been there. I did that. So if I'm judging them, I'm judging me. I have learned, at least, especially in the last 15 years, to give more mercy. Because if I sow mercy, what do I reap? I reap mercy. All right. So now, God has a plan. God, there is still a plan. There's a plan for Israel. That's why I keep telling you, watch Israel. Watch what God's got going on. I firmly believe God had to have the United States back away from Israel. Israel didn't need their big brother, United States, to come in and bail them out. Israel needs to trust God, Jehovah. He wants to show himself faithful to them because of Abraham. Something he made to Abraham. The United States is still blessed because for the most part, we have blessed Israel. Okay? There's a group, and listen, you got to keep following this. We are the United States as a country, yes. But we as believers are the children of God. We walk in a totally different realm. Our economy is not based on their economy. God will bring food, he will bring finances, he will bring what you need through whatever means necessary. I've heard people talk about Oral Roberts, and I even felt a little bit like this, I'm not going to lie. Oral Roberts years ago, and he said, God said I need to raise, $1 million, or he's going to take me home. I'm thinking, really? Is that that big of a deal? You know, I'm like, God, well, that's kind of weird. It's kind of silly. You know what? He didn't go home because, first off, Christians didn't rise up to do it. God had appointed a millionaire heathen to bring it forth. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not Oral's God. We're co-workers. That's it. I have no right to judging. Now, so we now know that God has a purpose for each of every life. Things happen in this world for a reason. I believe I know why we have the president we have, because it had to pull us away. We had to. And to be honest with you, I think if we had kept rolling in the realm we were with presidents who were boosted by the evangelicals, first off, the one thing we would have kept seeing is all these revivals that come in and they fire people up for 5 minutes and then they run after they've bled their bank accounts dry. That's not revival from God. That's a good feeling. That's all that it is. A revival is something that stays. Are you following me? A revival stays in your heart. You don't have to go to a camp meeting. You go because you want to. You go to that meeting because you want to. I don't have to go to a meeting to see people healed. I see enough people healed here. It would be one thing if I belonged to a church that didn't believe in praying for people. But guess what? I don't need to go there to see the sideshows. And I think that's what we turn God into when we do this. We turn him into a sideshow freak. Now, in 1918, according to legend, there was a private in the British Army. To date, he is the highest honored private in the British military. His name was Private Tandy. He was in France. And he was obvious, from what I've understood, he was a heroic soldier. And he came across a German soldier. The guy was unarmed. He had him in his crosshairs. They could see each other, probably from here to the back of the room. He could see he didn't have a weapon, and he had a clear shot. He had his rifle drawn. He looked right into and it was a corporal. He could see his stripes. Look into that corporal's eyes. He chose not to pull the trigger. He let him go. Later, this corporal would write it. Write about that and tell people about it. Anybody guess his name? Adolf Hitler. His life was spared in a battle where it should have been taken. Later, Adolf would also write in Mein Kampf about a time when he was in the trenches in France. And he was eating, they were eating dinner, and he was sitting with his comrades, and he said a voice told him to get up and move. He got up and he went to the other end of the trench and sat down. Within minutes, a mortar round hit that section, killing everybody there. That's twice his life was spared. Now, you're sitting here thinking, I can't believe that was the most evil, demonic man on the planet. You need to understand, God's plan is not short-term plan. There were things that had to come in place, and they weren't coming in place, and they weren't going to. We have somebody yet who's worse than Hitler was coming to this world. In 1929, I believe it was, Adolf Hitler was asked by the army to go sit in on the National Socialists to see what they were doing. Wanted to find out if they were a subversive group to the German chancellor or not. And so he went, and he's listening to what they have to say. He joined up. He joined them. Signed the papers. You want what his identification number was with them? 555. His identification number, in other words, his ID number. The number that would equal his name. I'm going to throw something out here to you. This is speculation, something you can think about. Because I have spent hours upon hours studying, trying to find out any world leaders today whose names add up to 666. And no, everybody keeps going back to Caesar. Caesar's dead. Let's get this understood. However, how many of you have a social security number? Everybody in here. When they called us by our last four. Some of you have serial numbers in the military. It was a totally different deal that identified you. When I get my medical records, when I get my discharge papers, whatever, it has my number on it. Now, I realize that there's too many numbers to be 666. However, there are three separate sections, and it is the possibility that in all three sections, with the numbers we use, they could equal 606 or 666 and 6. I guess I'm just saying it's something to throw out there for you to think about, because the way we've been thinking about it doesn't add up. However, since we all have a Social Security number and we're not the only country with that, there's a real good possibility. I just don't care to sit down and figure up all the multiple combinations that it could be. So anyhow, God knew Hitler what he would do. He knew exactly what Hitler would do. But if you pay attention to what took place after World War II, when the Allies stormed those concentration camps, Auschwitz being one of them, and they saw the atrocities that were inflicted upon the Jewish people, the United Nations came together and they said, those people need their country back. Are you following the significance of what took place? It was awful. But God took what was evil and he turned it to good. Because of Abraham, a promise he had made to Abraham, and because it was according to his will. Israel needed to come back as a nation for the end times. It was written. So, God allowed that. And by the way, you know what else Hitler did to those people? He took away their names and gave them a number. Yeah, you've seen the tattoos across their chest, on their arms. Taking away their name, their identification, and giving them a number. So, when things happen in our lives, there's been awful things. I've shared awful things that have happened to me. I know you've all had awful things. Things that you don't ever want to think about again. They've happened. God knew they were going to happen. You know why you're still alive, why you're still here? It's because he empowered you to overcome it. He's got a purpose for you. No matter where you have been. Oh God, I went down that path. Yeah, I chose the path I went down, and I went down it. And something the devil used to try to destroy me, God has now empowered me to help people. God never intended for religion to be the rule. He intended for love. There is no love in religion. We just need to understand that. Well, I got to do this because I got to do it. No. You just stay over there. I don't want you to do it because of that. I want you to do it because you want to. When we, as the body of Christ, start realizing Jesus picked up that servant's apron because he wanted to. We're talking the Messiah, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, put on a servant's apron and washed people's feet. We can no longer sit back and say, well, you know, you don't know what's happened to me. I just can't overcome this. Yes, you can. You're either an overcomer or you're a weenie. You take your pick. My household, it's not a good thing to be a weenie. We call each other on it from time to time. Some of you wouldn't hang very long in my household. And I'll tell you why. Because one, I mean, I love my children, my sons, and I push them for things and stuff, but I'm raising them to be men, not 40-year-old little boys. There's a major problem today. When we got, listen, I know you, some of you in here play video games, that's fine. As long as you keep priorities right. Okay? Everything's got, can be messed up. I heard one person say they bought him a Harley Davidson. My wife said, we lose the house before we lose the Harley. Really? Have fun sleeping in the saddlebags. Priorities are wrong. Raising little boys. Oh, it just feels so good. I'm just so free. You know what? I understand all that. But I also understand there's a calling of God on people. And the church has unfortunately been sucked into that mindset that, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. Or we'll be like Samson. Y'all remember Samson? He kept dinking around. He'd finally, you know, he's there in Delilah's lap and he's drunk and, you know, he's just been doing whatever he wants to do for the last umpteen years. And he's been telling lies upon lies. And, you know, and finally he breaks down. He tells the real secret because he got wore down. And, you know, the saddest scripture in the Bible is where it says, and the Spirit of the Lord left him and he knew it not. And Delilah once again says, Samson, arise, for the Philistines are upon you. And in his mind, he says, oh, come on. I'm just going to shake this stuff off and go kick their butts like I've done the last 10 times. Only this time, he stood up and he couldn't break the bonds. See, that's where the church put itself. We worry about, do we have enough people? You know, and I've shared this before, and, you know, Angela will attest to the fact. Is your church growing? I can't tell you how many people ask me that. And they're usually ministers. Is your church growing? Oh, yeah. The people grow daily. Well, is your church growing? I said, I don't measure my church growth by numbers. I measure the church growth by how strong they are. Because what good does it do to have a church of 10,000 people and three of them trust God? The other ones are there for your programs. There's a problem when the church is like that. Programs are all fine and dandy in their place, but you know what? Personally, I say, you know what? How about, first off, we as Christians, we infiltrate. We got coaches in here. I don't need to start softball leagues. Besides that, I have never heard anything good about a church softball league. You want to find out who's really not saved on a church softball league? And I ain't telling, well, some of you know me enough, the competitiveness that comes out. You might be breaking up the fight with the preacher. So it might not be a good thing. So that's why I just got to stay away. I love to play stuff, but we are the church. There's no shame in that. We are called for a purpose. To love God and to love others. Every decision you will ever make is not in the Bible. I wish people would quit saying that. Oh, but Pastor, yes it is. I believe every decision. Okay, show me where it says God said to buy a cell phone. Come on. Show me where he said to go buy a new car. Oh, it's not there, is it? Well, true, they were in one accord, but Joshua rode a triumph. Because it was heard throughout the land. But you see what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit's job in us today. Lead us into every decision we make to the purpose of God. It may not seem like the trendy decision right at the moment. But if we trust God, He will provide and do what He said to do. So having said all that today, things have happened to you, I know. But if you will let God show you what you grew out of in that. I was telling somebody the other day some of the things I've been through, and you know, it was really helping them out too. And they said, you know, I am so glad to see that you forgave them. I said, well, I had to. God didn't call me to start this church until after I had forgiven a particular minister. And I guess I hadn't even realized that I was holding him in unforgiveness. But I was. 2 months after I finally crossed the threshold of forgiveness and didn't go back. You know, we've all done that, right? Oh, Lord God, I forgive those people. I forgive them. We go on a cross. And the next thing you know, well, you know, gone. They did that. We go right back across. How about we just keep going across that bridge and stay on the other side of forgiveness? Because I tell you this, I would not want his life. His life has not been what he thought it was going to be. And he was a good man. Just got a little sidetracked. All things will work if we love him and we're doing our purpose. Do you know how many times I got so frustrated? You know what finally made me enlist? I had been talking about it maybe for a couple years. Oh, maybe I'll join the Marines. Maybe da da da. I just never would. I wouldn't talk to recruiters. I knew they were silver-tongued liars, and they are. I will not retract that statement because a friend of mine, a staff sergeant, went to recruiting school. He came back. He was from Youngstown, Ohio, and he said, Art, you know what they taught me to do? I said, what? He said, lie. I said, you think? I'm supposed to be an electrician, and I'm working on diesel trucks. Yeah. Yeah, real close. And so anyhow, a girl is part of the blame. A girl. Now, I didn't think I had any. I mean, I just didn't date a whole lot. But a girl. I was like, God, I want a girlfriend. This stinks. This is lonely and it bites and I don't like it. Well, you know, I just kept right on. And, what the heck, I'm going to call a recruiter. I talked to a recruiter, ended up enlisting. Is it 4 days? 4 days later, I found out she liked me, asked her out. A month and a half later, asked her to marry me. 2 years later, we got married. God knew what he was doing sending me to Japan. But my point being, folks, the things were not working out to my good because I refused to make the decision that needed to be made. I needed to step out of a comfort zone. God needed to take a little boy and make him a man. That's why I tell people the little boy that went in died. And on October 20th, a man walked out. Oh, I still had boyish mindsets, but there was so much that had changed. So, whatever you're going through, whatever's holding you back, forgive. It's a commandment, not an option. Forgive. And I would like to say you were going to forget, but you will not. I don't want you to forget. I know that sounds contrary to what people have told you. If you forget, then you can no longer stay in forgiveness. Just saying. I remember everything. Everything I did, everything that was done to me. I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose. It didn't just happen. But trust that God's going to turn the situation you're in right now to your good. If you love Him. And the best thing I can tell you right now is get to know Him. You will know Him through the Word. You've got to read the Word. You do need to know the Word. And again, I'm going to tell you right now, if you are not reading John, read the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I don't care if you read anything else for the next 3 years. Okay? You're having struggles right now? Those are the four books I want you to read. The book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. When you get finished, start over. John understood God's love. And the Bible says that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. And I think that was the connection. It was because he understood the love. He was the only one that grew to an old age. The only one. Start in those. Keep reading them. Keep reading them. Keep letting God work in you about love. Don't say, well, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere. You will grow greater in love because your faith works by love. So you can't, oh, I've got great faith, Pastor. Well, you don't. If you don't have love, no, you don't. It's all about love. God is love. So, let's quit worrying about what's going to take place. It's going to happen. We're not going to stop it. So many people, well, we're going to stop. We got to put down the Antichrist. We're going to rise up the tribulation force. We're going to rise up and we're going to battle the Antichrist. Really, you're going to waste your time and energy fighting against the plan of God. Why not just let it go, let God feed you and take care of you? Because there is going to come a time. The Bible says somewhere along there, I'm not even going to pretend to know everything about the return of Christ and all that. I do believe there's actually two times. But there's one time it says he comes back with all of his saints. One of those times he says he returns with all of his saints. That'd be us. So somewhere along the line we left. I don't care if it's pre, post, or mid. Don't really care. If I see the Antichrist on the TV, so be it. I know God is big enough to take care of me. But when we return, I don't plan on being in the rear with the gear. I won't be up front. All right, let's stand. Take the time this week. You know what? I'm going to ask you to do this. I don't normally, but I'm going to ask you this week. One day. Everybody say one day.
One day.
I don't care what day. There you go. I like that. So everybody heard. One day, and I don't care which one you pick, I want you to fast and pray. You don't have to do this every week. Just this week. Okay? One day. It won't kill you. Fast and pray and hear from God about your life. You know, everybody, well, we're going to fast and pray about this. And this. How about fast and pray about your life right now? There's things we're all supposed to be gearing up. Work situations, new job opportunities, new business opportunities. Everything is coming up. Take 1 week, one day. I told you what books to go to. So you can, and as a matter of fact, yeah, there you go. Yes, Lord. You don't read anything else this week but any of the books of John. And just because John wrote Revelation don't mean you read Revelation. It's off limits. We got enough goofiness coming out right now. Oh, there's going to be a big monster coming out of the water. Listen, do you know how long it took me to get over getting in the ocean? Teachings like that. I watched Jaws once. But read John. One of those. I don't care where you're reading at. If you find something that day that God just sticks in you and it stays, that's what you focus on. You chew every bit. You just keep running that scripture over and over and over in your mind. And what the Holy Spirit will do is just like chewing on a nice piece of steak. That first bite, okay, it's really pretty good, isn't it? If it's a juicy one, if you overcook them, they're dry. You've gotten rid of all the good stuff. The word is perfect. It don't need you to add to or take from it. What it needs is for you to chew on it, which is meditating over and over. And each time you take, you taste more. I was talking with somebody the other day. You remember how I've told you, as soon as you tell somebody you're a Christian or you're a pastor in particular, boy, they just get all kinds of religious. Well, I had that happen last week. I had to tell the guy what I did. Oh, praise God, brother. Listen, you're sitting here telling me about your girlfriend, you're drinking, and all your other stuff going on. Now you're telling me you've read the Bible 5 times. And it's like, well, maybe just keep going. You know, I didn't bring judgment down and condemning. But, you know, and he even pointed out, he said, you know, each time I've read the Bible, I ran across things. Okay, I've read this before. How did I not see that? And now that you're going to be focused on praying and fasting, and when I say praying, I mean, how about the whole day? I don't mean you got to be in a corner with your face down on a prayer rug. I don't think that's what God meant for when he wanted a relationship with us. My relationship with my wife does not just happen behind the bedroom door. We're in relationship here. So, it's a 24/7. So there you go. There you have your challenge for the week. There's your marching orders. And I'll shut up, okay? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we truly do thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And now, Lord, I know that each one of us have overcome things. Each one of us are still struggling with things. And Father, there are things that have happened or things that are about to happen in our lives that you know what's going to happen, and you will turn it to our good, Father. It may have seemed like a good thing, turns bad, and then somewhere, somehow, you're going to make it work out for us according to your plan. So, Father, if there's any of us who are disobeying God, I pray right now that you help us to get back into your perfect will, Father, that we walk according to that. And, Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit will gently nudge and tug and mold each and every one of us into the image of Christ. And now, Father, I thank you for these people, Lord. I bless them. I thank you for your healing power is touching any who has sickness in their body. Father, I thank you that you're going before them. You're making paths straight. You're taking obstacles out of their way. In Jesus' name, amen.